Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. May the Holy Spirit of God bless unto us the reading of this passage of Scripture. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty God, our Father, maker of heaven and earth, creator of man in thine own image, unto thee we lift our voices in praise and open our hearts in worship. As we gather in this place, we gather here, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, and we come here in confidence because thou hast revealed thyself through him and conquered death in him. We thank thee for the many blessings which have been given to us by thy mercy and through thy power. Most of all, we thank thee for the blessings of fellowship with thee and with one another. We thank thee for those friends who have been a part of our lives since our birth, for those friends who have helped us to be our true selves, and for those who have been for us even when we have not been aware of their presence and their concern. We thank thee in particular for our friendship in this Christian community. And we pray that thy Holy Spirit may open up our minds to new areas of relationships with one another. Grant, O God, that as thy Son Jesus is a friend to us, we may be a friend to each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man alone is not man at all. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." The togetherness of man and woman in marriage is the most dramatic expression of man's need for intimate fellowship with other human beings. Man's need for his fellow man is not less because of the self-sufficiency of our affluent and individualistic society. Quickly, man is bored with the things of this world, and desperately, he pursues genuine fellowship. The community which man craves has been described by many words, but the most universal one is the word friends. We are friends. This affirmation by serious people signifies a sharing of personalities which brings fulfillment and joy into human existence. Although the word friend is used carelessly today to indicate the most casual acquaintance, this was not so at its inception. The English word friend is derived from the present participle of an Anglo-Saxon verb, freon, which means to love. A true friend is one who loves you, and a Christian friend is one who loves you with the love which he has known in Jesus Christ. Christian friendship is not a humanistic enterprise, because it is grounded in man's relationship to God himself. Apart from our relationship to God, it is highly improbable that most of us here would have ever known each other. Our relationship to one another, however, implies something more than our mutual relationship to God. It implies that the possibility of genuine Christian friendship is grounded in God himself. Trinitarian language has been used to express this orientation. God the Father loves the Son in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the possibility of human friendship is based on the reality of divine fellowship, the actualization of love within God himself. Wherever there is a breakdown in friendship among Christians, there lurks a deeper problem, the breakdown of our fellowship with God. Christian friendship, then, is a divine human possibility and a divine human achievement. Friendship as a divine human possibility is realized through faith in God. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Genuine friendships are not simply accidents of history. As a writer of Proverbs said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. God has taken the initiative in establishing genuine friendship through Jesus Christ. He makes an effort to be our friend. Some Christians complain about not having friends, while at the same time they have made little or no effort to be a friend. Do you put forth a sincere effort to be a friend? Not simply to have friends, for this implies a subject-object relationship which is designed to further one's own desires. To discover as a child that one has been befriended by another in order to be used by that person is a bitter experience. Today, as adults, we are not surprised by this experience, since the motivation for friendship is frequently akin to Dale Carnegie's approach in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, rather than that of our Lord, who said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus worked at being a friend. Yet he was not untrue to himself, and never did he compromise his relationship to God in order to gain friends. When, however, his most intimate disciples deserted him, he did not reject them. He was their friend, even though they misunderstood him. Christian friendship exhibits several characteristics, and the first of these is faith in another person. Each of us exercises a certain type of faith in other people, but Christian friendship is rooted in a faith which allows another person to know our inner self and which trusts another to deal with this revealed knowledge with integrity, discretion, and kindness. There is danger in the most common faith relationships. But the more personal the relationship, the more dangerous the consequences may be. There is no pain more excruciating than the hurt inflicted by a true friend. Yet this is the risk we must take if we are to be creative Christians who love others as God has loved us. God took this risk and willing freedom for man, and he bore the hurt of man's rejection of his love offered in Jesus Christ. If we would have Christian friends, we must dare to believe in the integrity of men in Christ. A second characteristic of Christian friendship is loyalty. The circumstances of life with which each person must constantly come to terms place a great stress and strain on those who seek to be loyal friends. No scene is more pathetic than that of two lifelong friends who have come to the parting of their ways after years of mutual sharing in the vicissitudes of life. It is difficult for us to be loyal to God or man, and often the difficulty increases with the length of friendship because we presume on our former relationships. As we give more of ourselves to others, we run a greater risk of complete rejection. This risk decreases in proportion to the extent which mutual friends are rooted in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. Instead of the circumstances of life placing friendship under stress, they may become the occasions for renewal and strengthening. It has been said that your best friends won't tell you. And this is often true. And we know the difficulty of bearing criticism from a friend whose own faults are well known to us. But this should not be the case. Our best friends, including our wives and colleagues, should be able to tell us about ourselves, and we should consider their counsel seriously. As we recall the painful occasions of straight talk from a friend, we should realize the truth of the proverb, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." A third characteristic of Christian friendship is a mutual acceptance of individuality. Only God has the right to make man in his own image, and he recognizes and rejoices and the diversity of gifts among his children. Friends are not given to us for reform, and if our goal in friendship is to remake others in our image, we shall either find ourselves frustratingly unsuccessful or terribly troubled by our success. Wherever mutual acceptance is a reality, friends experience profound fellowship with one another, and this fellowship is deepened by sharing of knowledge. Jesus shared in the knowledge of God's will for his own life, and he shared his knowledge of God the Father with his disciples. Christian friends know the task to which they have been called, and they rejoice in their labors together for God. If faith is a condition of friendship, loyalty its bond of strength, and mutual acceptance its modus operandi, then forgiveness is the activity which guarantees the continuation of friendships. Of all the causes of broken friendship, none is more responsible and devastating than the tongue. The tongue which betrays confidence and judges motives. The wisdom of Proverbs needs to be written with indelible ink on the tablets of our minds. He that repeateth a matter separateth friends. Broken fellowship, whatever the cause, can be mended through the forgiving grace revealed in Jesus Christ. The worth of a true friend does not have to be argued by one who has a friend. Francis Bacon rightly said, "Friendship redoubleth joys and cutteth griefs in half." Christian friendship is a precious relationship. It cannot be bought at any price. It can only be revealed in love. Love so great that a man will actually lay down his life for his friends. When it is revealed, we know that there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Polonius, in his advice to Laertes as his younger son was departing for the city of Paris, said, "Those friends thou hast and their adoption tried, grapple them to thy soul with hoops of steel." You and I have friends whose adoption has been tried. Let us grapple them to our souls by believing in their integrity, forgiving their trespasses, and sharing their lives, our lives, with them. May we say to our friends what God has said to us: "No longer do I call you servants or slaves, but I have called you friends." Let us pray. O God, through the wisdom of thy Spirit and the example of thy Son, give us the power and the grace to be a friend this day and throughout our human pilgrimage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.